بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
الله صل على محمد.
أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث، ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. We mentioned last night that over the next, inshallah, few nights, we'll be discussing about the topic of tazkiyatun nafs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ash-Shams, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. So we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Shams, He swore 11 times, starting with وَالشَّمْسِ and then وَضُحَاهَا, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. So that's the 11th qasam, the waw of waw al-qasam. And what is he swearing about? About this nafs. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, successful is he, the one who purifies his nafs. And unsuccessful, or a person who will not be a winner, a loser, is the one who contaminates his nafs. So we looked at some examples of individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran, like Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun as an example of a person who did not purify his soul, did not purify himself. Whereas Musa alayhi salam, of course, being the prophet of Allah, reached the highest state and status of purity, self-purification. And then we also looked at examples from history. And we looked at a couple of examples. One is Hashim, and the other one is Umayyah, his nephew. How Hashim purified himself, and hence every individual who purifies himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his or her status in dunya before akhirah. And on the contrary, Umayyah, who did not purify himself, as history tells us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this out. And people see this in dunya before akhirah. Now, continuing with this discussion, we said that the nafs is basically a link. It's a link between the ruh, which is the spirit or the soul, and the desires, the materialistic desires. So, It tries to link between those two, tries to compensate the two, tries to make both of them happy. And it depends which way you direct your nafs. You can control it. You have the reins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the power. Allah said in Surah Al-Dahr, أو الإنسان, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقناه من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. We created the insan. Allah talking about the insan. And just to refresh the memories, we said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the human being, not just by body, but the body as well as the aql, the mind, as well as the nafs, as well as the ruh, that Allah refers to as the insan. Sometimes Allah refers to the physical body of the human being, He refers to him as bashar. إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن صَلْصَالٍ مِّن حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. I'm creating this form of the human body, Allah is referring to. This bashar is the human body. But when Allah is talking to the human being who's got aql, the one whom Allah has given him choice, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the reins to control which path he chooses, after Allah has given him the aql, the mind, Allah refers to that individual, that human being, as the insan. So Allah in Surah Al-Insan or Surah Al-Dahr says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ. The human being who's got the aql, and then Allah says, We showed him the path. صراط المستقيم is here, and the other paths are there. And then it's up to you. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا, he is either grateful, وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا, or ungrateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the human being the choice. He shows him the way, and it's up to the human being to decide. He goes this way or the other way. So this nafs, if it's controlled well, can be attracted towards the ruh. If it is, however, not looked after, then it can be taken towards the desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us three types of nafs in the Holy Quran. One, in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about an-nafsu al-ammarati bis-su. Allah says in Surah Yusuf, in verse number 53, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. There is an evil commanding nafs, one that is driving me to do bad things. One that is always telling me, don't follow what Allah tells you. Don't follow your aql. Follow your desires. You're hungry, keep on eating and eating and eating. And don't worry about getting full. You know, the Prophet has a hadith. He says, the ma'ida, the stomach, needs to be divided into three parts. One third is for your feeding, you eat with it. The other third you drink. And the other third you breathe. So one person, you know, he was trying to be funny. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know, funny or silly, which way you want to say it, but he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will fill it all with food and drink, and then if the breath comes in. If it doesn't, who cares? Khalas, you know. So there are some people like that. In fact, the doctor of Harun al-Rashid, he was a Christian doctor. Harun had a Christian doctor. Bakhtashyu' his name was. One day he met with a person, a alim, one of the scholars of religion, and he told him that your Quran does not deal about medicine. There is no medicine in the Quran of yours. And it only talks about religious aspects. It doesn't talk about medicinal aspects. So, this alim told him, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined all of medicine in half a verse. He said, which one? He said, Allah said, eat and drink and do not extravagate. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. That indeed is the entire medicine combined in that half a verse. So this man said, that's true. And he said, our Prophet also said, the source of disease in the body is the stomach, the ma'ida. Whatever you eat. You know how the saying goes, you are what you eat. That's what they say here. So, the Prophet said this 1400 years ago. Quran said this 1400 years ago. That eat what you want, drink what you want, but with moderation. But the nafs says, no, who cares? I drink, I eat, whatever, as long as I want, as much as I want. No problem. That's why this Mawlana Jalaluddin, he says, kulu vashrabura gush kard, vala tusrifura faramush kard. When it comes to eating and drinking, he listens very carefully. But when it comes to vala tusrifu, he forgets about it. He says, that's not good for business. So, this is the nafs. Tells you to do everything. Don't worry about the aql. That's an-nafs al-ammarati bis-su. Then there is one, a nafs that is completely opposite to this one. Completely opposite. The one that is always using the aql. Everything with moderation. It controls the desires with moderation. And that is an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fajr, يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. So that is the nafs al-mutma'inna, the one where the aql is always in charge. And that of course is the nafs of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have reached to that level and status where it is always there at peace and tranquility. Their good commanding soul or their good commanding nafs is the one that's always in charge. And hence, it regulates the desires. It controls everything that the body wants and needs. That's why Imam al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayh, says, we are people, referring to Ahlul Bayt, says, we are people, referring to this eating and drinking, who do not eat unless we feel hungry. And whenever we sit down to eat, we never leave the food when we are full. So we're still hungry when we want. Our soul still desires, our nafs still desires the food. But we tell it, now you stop. Khalas. That's it. And this indeed is what medicine today tells us. And we have some doctors here in the crowd. They also said, don't take so much. No. Moderation. Moderation. So that is a nafsul mutma'inna. Then there is a nafs, which is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled in the human being, so that when he deviates from the straight path, it tries to bring him back on track. When the train kind of goes away, this nafs tries to put the train back on the tracks. And which one nafs is that one? That is an-nafsul lawwama. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, La uqsimu biyawm al-Qiyamah, wa la uqsimu bin-nafsil lawwama. So that nafs al-lawwama is what may be referred to as the conscious. The conscious. A person does something wrong, he feels guilty. Why did I do this? Why did you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why you find even the tyrants, the oppressors, they are not at peace. They're not at tranquility. Because they know what they're doing is wrong. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, for example. Hajjaj, when he killed Sa'id ibn al-Jubair, he did not even sleep a single night. Every night in the dream, he has a nightmare of Sa'id ibn al-Jubair. Every night. He wakes up in the middle of the night and says, Mali wa Sa'id ibn al-Jubair. Why did I kill him? Why did I kill the Sa'id ibn al-Jubair? Until he perished. He did not last too long. 2 weeks after he died. Hajjaj. So, even the tyrants, the oppressors, they have their nafs al-lawama trying to wake them up. Try to bring them back on track, but they don't listen to it. They put their desires at the forefront. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love of dunya. And that's why the hadith says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَ, the love of dunya. This love, that's a blind love. A blind love for this materialistic world is the source of every sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists a few of these desires that the human being is attracted to in verse number 14 of Surah Ali Imran that we started with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zuyyina lin-nas. People are attracted to. Now, The question is here. Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. There is some attraction. Who has made this attraction? Is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? من المزين? You know, who's doing the ornamentation? Who's doing the attraction? The verb of attraction. Is it Allah? Or is it someone other than Allah? Here, mufassirin, they differ. Some say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made these attractions for us. And in this particular verse, this verse is referring to Allah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 32, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say, who has forbid the ornaments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has created? And the blessings of the sustenance. So that's one ayah. Another ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 8, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. We made what's on the earth as an ornament for it. Why? Allah then says, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test them, which one of them does the best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all these beauties on the earth. And this is, of course, to establish the society, you know. Because we are a society, we don't live on this earth as an individual. We live as a society. And hence, an individual tries to take care of his appearance. Not because he wants to look good for himself, so that others, when he wants to leave the house, he makes sure that he's in a presentable way for others. He buys, for example, the most expensive soap to take a shower with. He buys all the expensive perfumes to perfume himself with, so that he becomes in a presentable state before others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these ornaments for the human being, for himself and for the society, for the sake of the society as well. So this is good. This is the zina that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the human being, and the human being can utilize this zina, this ornament, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave me all this. Allah is the one who provided me with all this. That's one reason why it is, for example, mustahab, before you stand up for salat, for prayers. For it's mustahab for a person to comb his hair. It is mustahab, for example, for a person to put some perfume on. All these are mustahabat of salat. Imam al-Hasan, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh, he used to wear the best of his clothes at the time of the salat. The best of the clothes he put on at the time of salat. They asked him, Ibn Rasulullah, why? He says, I'm going to be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we want to meet an individual, we make sure that we wear the best of the clothes and we are in a presentable form, in a presentable shape. So what about when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, I'm meeting Allah, so I have to be in the best form, in the best shape, in the best attire, in the best smell. Not like, for example, sometimes when we wake up for Salatul Subh, mashallah, the hair is this and I don't know what we're looking like, you know, and we don't even know. And if wudu was not wajib, you know, at least the wudu wakes us up a little bit. But otherwise, you know, if wudu was not wajib, imagine, you know, we'd be praying like this, you know, with our eyes closed and we don't even know what we're saying. With wudu, we still don't know what we're saying. So, that's the way we do our salat. But, these ornaments that Allah created, they are for us to be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one reason that some people say that this ayah here, the one who is performing this ornament, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other mufassirin, however, say yes, some ayat, like the ones we recited in Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Al-A'raf, refer to Allah. This one, however, doesn't refer to Allah. When the human being abuses these ornaments, shaitan comes to the human being and tries to fool him, saying to him that these ornaments is really what you live for in dunya. That's when the disaster occurs. The human being, you find him running from, you know, 7 in the morning until, you know, 12 midnight. So that he buys the best car, he buys, you know, the best clothes, he puts on. The human being steals, cheats, lies, so that he can get a little bit of money, so that he eats the best of the food. That's what the human being does. This action is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This action is from shaitan. Allah gave the human being these ornaments to be used in moderation. But shaitan comes to the human being and makes him forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these ornaments. Okay, so you see we have two types of ornaments. One, which is one that Allah created so that we use it and to remember Him. And then the same ones, if however Iblis or Shaytan comes and make us forget about Allah, that is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from us. It's our fault. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, the one who's doing all this ornamentation, it's not Allah. It is Iblis. What? The love of the desires. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, the love of desires. What are some of these desires that Allah lists? Let's look at them. One, من النساء, women. Men are generally attracted to women. Also women are attracted to men. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the way that the human being does not use his aql. That's why Allah did not say, زُيِّنَ لِلْإِنسَانِ. He said, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. The insan has aql, has a mind. But sometimes when he chooses to close off his mind, then he follows his desires blindly. And hence, females are a source of attraction for men. It is said, the Prophet Yahya, salamullahi alayh, Prophet Yahya, alayhi salam, why was he killed? How was he killed? There was a king at his time, at the time of Prophet Yahya, alayhi salam. Yahya, the son of Zakariya. There was a king, he loved his niece, the daughter of his brother. He loved her. He wanted to marry her. Yahya alayhi salam told him it is haram. It is not allowed in the religion that you marry your niece. Her mother became upset because she wanted her daughter to marry the king, so she becomes a queen. So she became upset. She told the daughter, she said, listen, one day I'm going to take you, you know, put on the best clothes, put on all this makeup and whatever, become very attractive and go towards this king. When he asks you, what do you want? If he wants to approach you, tell him, no, you can't approach me. Try to seduce him. But tell him, you cannot approach me. And if he says, what do you want then? Tell him, I want the head of Yahya. His head. And indeed, that's what happened. This king wanted to approach his niece. She told him, I want the head of Yahya. So he said, okay. And he brought Yahya alayhi salam and they killed him. And they put his head on a golden platter and they presented it to the king. That's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on his way to Karbala, he used to say, من هوان الدنيا على الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدى رأس يحيى بن زكريا إلى بغي من بغايا عصره. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really has no value and status for dunya. Dunya has no value before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the actions that we carry, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved the akhirah for the mu'mineen. Dunya itself has no value before Allah. In another hadith, it is said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave any value to the dunya, He would not give the non-believers a single thing. They would not have a single thing in dunya. But Allah gives them in dunya, because dunya, really, if somebody is rich in dunya, it is not a status, because it does not mean that he is a better believer than the poor. No. If somebody, for example, has knowledge in dunya, it doesn't mean that he is better than somebody who does not have knowledge. And I'm talking about this materialistic knowledge. This does not really mean anything. This taqwa. taqwa enhanced. But in akhirah, yes. In akhirah, there are levels, there are ranks, which all reflect the level of taqwa and piety of the individual. So he said, Imam Hussein used to say that this dunya has no value, and one of the biggest examples that dunya has no value before Allah is that the head of Prophet Yahya was given to one of the most wicked people of his time. And he was referencing to himself as well. He knew the same thing will happen to him as well. His head was also presented on a golden platter to the oppressive tyrant ruler of his time, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So sometimes this love of women can drive the human being or drive this insan to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to commit the ma'asiyah wal'ayadu billah. One of the caliphs of Bani Umayyah by the name of Yazid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. This is not Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Yazid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. He had two maids that he loved so much. They were singers. They used to sing for him. One is Hababa and one is Salama. That's heard their names. Hababa died when he was alive. She died. He couldn't bear it. For 3 days, he was hugging her and did not want to bury her. For 3 days. Until they told him, you can't do this. You have to bury her. So they buried her. He went at night and he dug the grave. Subhanallah. And then shortly after, he died as well. إلى جهنم وبئس المصير. You know, that's the individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says among the desires is women. That's why the hadith of the Prophet says try to get the youth married at a young age. And when a young man gets married, shaitan cries, saying this one gate through which I am able to enter and penetrate the heart of this man has been closed. This one gate. So, Nisa, what else? That's one thing. Walbaneen, and boys. Boys. Generally, people like boys. Again, Allah is not speaking of the normal desire for the human being to have children. Every human being desires to have children. This is normal. But here Allah is talking about the desire when it is abused to having only boys. That's why the people in Arabia, they used to bury their girls. The girls had no value. The boys were the ones who would fight in the battles. It is the boys who would bring and earn. The boys are the stronger ones. So they had all the value. Girls had no value. And hence, the Arabs, they used to consider the person who had no boys as the one who has no children altogether. Abtar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Abtar is the person who had no children. So that's why when the Prophet's son died, this man, Al-As ibn Wa'il, came by and he said, don't worry about Muhammad anymore, khalas. His son has died, and so once he dies, his message is going to be finished with him. That's it. There's no one who's going to carry on with his message. Now, of course, this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tremendously. It hurt him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Surah Al-Kawthar, saying to Rasulullah, don't worry, Ya Rasulullah. We have given you Al-Kawthar, Al-Khayru Al-Kathir, the great blessings. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful. The one who is calling you names, he is the one who is Abtar. He is the one who has no progeny. And indeed, where is the progeny of Amr ibn al-As ibn Wa'il? Although he had a so-called son, Amr ibn al-As, although so-called son, he was not the father, but nonetheless, he considered him as his son. But where is his progeny? Khalas. Where is the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are in the thousands, if not the millions, in this day and age, extending from the east and the west and the north and the south, everywhere. So, they used to like boys. And until this day and age, I heard in some societies, until this day and age, sadly, when they get a daughter, they bury her. Because the rules of the land, that they're not allowed to have more than a certain number of children. So when a daughter is born, they bury her because the son is the one who carries the name. So they, unfortunately, they still have this mentality until this day and age. Islam came to wake people up, enlighten people. So, women, boys, and then gold and silver. وَالْقَنَاطِيرَ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ Lots of gold and lots of silver. These bricks of gold. You know, have you seen them in the banks? Sometimes, I don't know if we've seen them, but you see them on TV maybe sometimes, you know. I haven't seen them yet. But, yeah, people really, that's what you were praying for maybe tonight. So, these bricks of gold and silver that people love. It is said one day Isa ibn Maryam salamullahi alayhi, he came across three bricks of gold. He told the people who were with him, he had three companions with him. He told them, this gold will kill people. This gold is going to kill people. So he left. One of those three companions said to him, Ya Ruhallah, I have something to do. You know, excuse me, I'll see you later. Ma'a salama. You know, he went and he came back to this bricks. The second man also, a short while later, he said, you know, Ya Ruhallah, excuse me, ma'a salama, I'll see you later. And the third one also said, ma'a salama, and he came back. So the three of them gathered at this bricks. So after a while, they were looking at it, they felt hungry. So they said to one of them, why don't you go grab us some food? He said, okay. So he went to grab them food. The two that remained said, you know what? Why share this gold with three people? Let's share it with only the two people. So let us kill this man when he comes back. When he went to get the food, he was also thinking to himself, why share this gold with three people? I'll keep it all to myself. So he went and put poison into the food. When he came back, they killed him. Then they ate the food. And the two of them, mashallah, they had a party in Jahannam. So, a little while later, Isa alayhi salam came back. And he saw them in that state. So he revived them. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to revive them. And he told them, didn't I tell you that this gold is going to kill people? People should not be attracted to this gold. But unfortunately, that's the way people are in this dunya. They are always attracted to the one who has the gold and the silver. You know, it is said in Arabic, there is a poet who said, رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ قَدْ ذَهَبُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ ذَهَبُوا وَمَنْ مَا عِنْدَهُ ذَهَبُوا عَنْهُ النَّاسَ قَدْ ذَهَبُوا. He said, I see people always going towards one who has gold. رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ قَدْ ذَهَبُوا. I see people going, ذَهَبُوا, to the one who has gold. إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ ذَهَبُوا. And if a person doesn't have gold, people also go away from him, just like Isa ibn Maryam. Even if it is Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, even if it's a prophet of Allah, they say, see you later. مَعَ السَّلَامَ. You know. And they leave him. This is the status of... Another poet says, رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مُنْفَضَّةً إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ فِضَّةٌ وَمَنْ مَا عِنْدَهُ فِضَّةٌ عَنْهُ النَّاسُ مُنْفَضَّةٌ. I see people running after the one who has silver. And if a person doesn't have silver, the people also run away from him. And this is the status until this day and age, subhanallah. From the time of Isa alayhi salam until this day and age, the same values, the same standards. If a person has the gold and the silver, people run after him. If a person doesn't have the gold and the silver, people also leave him. Khalas. We don't have business with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states that among those things that people love is the gold and the silver in this dunya. That's why Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi used to say, he used to sweep Baytul Mal, the house of treasury, the ministry of treasury, he used to sweep it. He distributes all the gold, all the silver at the time it arrives. The minute it arrives, he distributes it all. And he would say, Ya Safra, O Ya Bayda, Ghurri Ghairi. O gold and silver, go and please somebody else. You don't attract me. You're not going to please me. You have no room in my heart. You have no room in my heart. And subhanallah, if an individual is of such character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings him the gold and the silver. And hence you find the dome of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi is golden. The doors and the gates are gold. Subhanallah. La'la' bibabi aliyyin ayyuhal dhahabu. The man who divorced the gold and the silver in his life, gold and silver came after him after his death. This is subhanAllah, this is the way. If a human being doesn't run after dunya, the dunya will come after him. But us, we are always running after dunya. That's the way we are. And then what else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَالْخَيْلُ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. خَيْلُ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ, of course, in those days, referring to, yes, I heard it. What is khayl? Horses. Horses. The one that are trained, the trained horses. People are laughing. Yeah, smiling, yes. These horses, back then, if a person owned a horse, it is basically owning like, you know, I don't know, a Ferrari, you know, a Ferrari, that's, or a Mercedes, that was the horse back in those days. Person who's rich, who's got a horse. So people enjoy these horses. That's why you find people saving and saving and saving so that they would want to buy the car of their dreams. You tell them, what's your goal in life? He says, to buy this car. يعني, subhanallah. You've limited yourself in this world just to buying this. This is the dream. Okay, what happens if you buy it? Then what? Khalas? You finished? What are you living for? That's why when people become materialistic, their thoughts become very limited. They become very limited. Whereas the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen, they're always inspiring for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence they're always in getting closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what else? وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also speaking of the cattle and of course of the states, the wealth that the human being accumulates. This is what the human being loves. These are some of the attractions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this dunya so that they can be used wisely, but not abused. That's why Allah later on then says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. مَتَاعُ, the word مَتَاعُ is whatever you travel. When you travel, you usually take something that will suffice you for the duration of your travel. If you're going to leave, for example, for a week, you take enough food with you. Nowadays, you don't need to take much food with you. It depends. But you take food, you take clothes, you take whatever that will suffice you for a week. If you're going to travel for a month, then you need to be prepared for a month. Although some people, mashallah, they travel for one day and they get, mashallah, the whole closet with them. You know. So, mata' is whatever you need to take with you during the period of your travel. That's mata'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these things are the mata' of dunya. For as long as you're alive in dunya, that is what you are going to be enjoying with. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عنده حسن المآب والله عنده حسن المآب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the best of return. When you go back to Allah, Allah will give you paradise, will give you rivers flowing under your paradise. That is the true win. That is the true gain. And hence, because of this, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these ornaments for us in dunya so that we remember Him. But the human being sometimes uses these ornaments to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in one of the du'as in Salatul Layl, after you pray Salatul Layl, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka lil-ni'am allati mananta biha alay. وَتَقَوَّيْتُ بِهَا عَلَى مَعَاصِيكَ. O Allah, I seek your forgiveness for the blessings that you have given me, and I use these blessings to disobey you, Ya Allah. These same blessings that you gave me, I'm using them to disobey you, Ya Allah. And this human being, subhanAllah, how arrogant he is. How arrogant he is. One day, one man was walking, and he was like full of himself. You know, the way, mashallah, you see some people these days also when they walk. You know, they walk like this. You know, they don't even look at what's down here. Because they don't consider those people are people, in fact. So, a person looked at him and he said, why are you walking like this? He said, don't you know who I am? He said, yes, I know who you are. Your beginning was a sperm that was najis. Nutfatun. Najisa. This was your beginning. And your end will be a smelly body that nobody wants even to get next to or near to. That's your end. And in between, if they open up your, you know, intestines, They'll find all that disgusting stuff in there as well. All these najasa wal-iyadu billah. It's all in there. So that's yes, that's what you are. That's you. That's really the human being. If he wakes up. If he wakes up. This is the human being. But the human being doesn't think about these. And hence, because of that, you find him going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-iyadu billah. Yazid ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he used to live the life of extravagance that he would forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that made him forget about Allah. He used to swim in a pool of alcohol. It is said that when he used to come out of the pool, they could see that he drank so much that it had decreased. The pool had decreased. And then he would say, قِفْ عَلَى دَكَّةِ الْخَمَّارِ وَسْقِينَ دَعِ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلْعُبَّادِ تَسْكُنُهَا وَقِفْ عَلَى دَكَّةِ الْخَمَّارِ وَسْقِينَ فَمَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ وَيْلٌ لِلشَّارِبِينَ بَلْ قَالَ وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. He says, leave the mosque, the masajid, to those naive people who go and inhabit them. But we, the elite people, the dignitaries, the modern people, where do you find us in the pubs? And being served with alcohol. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look at, this is the Khalifa of the Muslims now. He is justifying. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say in the Quran, woe upon those who drink. He said, woe upon those who pray. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. You know, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe upon those who pray. He did not say, فَوَيْنُ لِلْشَارِبِينَ. He said, وَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So this is the way that he used to fool people. He had a monkey with him. He had a monkey with him that he used to sometimes take his jubba, his abaya, and he put it on the monkey. And he would tell people, you know, watch him dance. And they would watch the monkey dance, and he would tell people, smile, laugh at him, you know, laugh. So the people are sitting there watching the monkey of Yazid ibn Muawiyah to see what it does, to laugh at it. So this is the Khalifa of the Muslims. This is the Khalifa. That's the state he was living in. All this for the love of dunya that then drove him also to kill the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He sent an army there which blocked the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from entering Kufa. And then they directed him towards Karbala. And on the second day of Muharram, Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family, they arrive in Karbala. When they get in that land, or once they get there, Imam Hussein salamullah alayhi says, what is the name of this place? They told him, it is called Nainawa. He said, does it have another name? They said, yes, it is also called the bank of Furat, the river of Furat here, Shati'ul Furat. He said, does it have another name? They said, yes, it is also called Karbala. قال إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إنها أرض كرب وبلاء اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكرب ومن البلاء. He said, oh Allah, I seek refuge from you from the difficulties and the tragedies. Then he turned towards Bani Hashim and he said, ya Bani Hashim, dismount from your horses, for this is the place where our men will be killed. This is the place where our blood will be shed. This is the place where our women will be taken as prisoners. And then he turned to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and he said, ya Abu al-Fadl, start mounting the tents of Bani Hashim. So Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam kept all the women in their dignity and respect. He came down, he prepared all the tents. Then he came down and started taking the women of Bani Hashim one after the other into their tents, all with dignity and respect. And that's why the women and the children of Bani Hashim, they remembered this on the 10th day of Muharram. When the enemy started burning the tents and they were running from one tent to another tent, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, my aunt Zainab dakhalat alayhi ammati Zainab, qalat amma ma nasna' qultu amma furru ala wujuhikum fil bayda'. She said to me, my dear nephew, what shall we do? The tents are burning. I told her, my aunt, take the children of my father and run in the desert away from the fire. Hamid ibn Muslim says, I saw a lady standing next to one of the tents and she is surrounded by fire from all sides. I told her, lady, the fire is approaching you. She did not pay attention to me. I told her, lady, the fire is catching on to your clothes. She looked at me and she said, I see the fire, but we have a sick man in this tent whom I have to take care of. بس العليل الظل شريد يصفج وسف يحسين بيد. And the women and the children started running away from one tent to another tent. And that was kept in the memory of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. He says, every time I look at my daughters, every time I look at my sisters and my aunts, I remember the day of Ashura when they were running from one tent to another tent. And the enemies are shouting, burn the tents of the enemies. أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. At that moment, Zainab alayhi salam turned towards أبو الفضل العباس قالت أخي أبا الفضل أنت الذي أركبتني إذ أردت الخروج من المدينة. أخي أبا الفضل أنت كافل محملي. يا أبو فاضل قوم لنا خويا حرقه وخيمنا علينا. Oh, Aba al-Fadl, you're the one who protected me. You're the one who brought me to Karbala. Ya Aba al-Fadl, get up and see your sister in what state she is. Look at your children running from one tent to another tent. Ya Aba al-Fadl, you were the one who made these tents for us. You were the one who brought us here in Karbala. Why don't you get up and take us back to Medina, the Medina of our grandfather, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. But I know, Ya Aba al-Fadl, if you had your right arm and your left arm, our tents would not even burn in the first place. Ya Aba al-Fadl, I look at your head on the spear, looking at me, telling me, Zainab, do you see the arrow in my eye? How can I come to your rescue when I'm in this state? That's when she turned towards Medina crying, Aywa Jadda wa Muhammada, Aywa Abata wa Aliya, Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'u.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Raise your hands for the dua, مؤمنين المؤمنات. إن شاء الله, here we are the guests of Imam Hussein سلام الله عليه. And on this night we just recited dua التوسل. إن شاء الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all our hajat at this moment.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'a. يكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله اللهم اجعلنا من شيعة محمد وآل محمد يا الله اللهم ارزقنا زيارة محمد وآل محمد في الدنيا يا الله وشفاعتهم في الآخرة يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة يا الله اللهم شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.